He restores the brokenhearted. I think that's a word for someone today. If that's for you today, receive that promise that He restores, He rebuilds, and He is close to those whose hearts are breaking. Father God, as we stand in Your presence and we marvel right now at Your majesty, and we thank You for these love songs. We thank You for these words of truth that we've been singing over ourselves and over each other. We thank You that we can receive these promises into our own hearts, that You are our hope. You are the miracle worker. You are the way maker. You are the promise keeper. We thank You that we can receive those truths today. So, Father God, help us to stay in that position of worship as we open up our hearts right now to Your words. So come, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts and minds now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you to Gabriella and the team. We're so blessed to have so many talented and anointed individuals here within our church praise and worship band. So who was here last week? A show of hands. All of you, that's good. So last week we were in the book of Romans. We were in the final chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. And we were looking at the servant of the church, and her name was Phoebe. Yes, well, maybe not everyone was here last week, but Phoebe. We established last week that she was given a very important task. She was delivering, she was carrying and delivering Paul's epistle to the church in Rome. Paul introduces her in his letter, albeit in just two short verses. However, he highly recommends her. And last week I asked you to consider the importance of her role within the church, but also last week to consider our role within the church here, within the church family. Yes, we are the family of God. And that a growing church has growing needs. And each individual within our church family is significant to God. As a church family, we are to behave as a family in brotherly and sisterly love. To love one another as part of the body of Christ. To make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through bonds of peace. So last week we were very much looking at living and growing together as a church family. And today we're going to remain in Romans chapter 16. But we're going to concentrate our attentions this morning on partnership. Everyone say partnership. Partnership. That's what we're going to look at today. So when you think of some famous partnerships, some dynamic duos, I wonder who springs to mind. So this is where I need a little bit of church participation. After this point, we need to be quiet and there's no heckling, okay? But this bit here, you can shout out your answers, all right? So here are just a couple of people to consider, and you can tell me who they are and what they're famous for. So we've got Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield. Ice cream, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Well done. That was my hard one as well. Anyway, Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard. H.P. Hewlett and Packard. Susan's favourite, Michael Marks and Thomas Spencer. Marks and Spencer's. She's never out there buying flowers for the church. Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel, of course. So that's the business and entertainment industry. We could be here to 3 o'clock doing this, actually, but we'll move on. So the Bible's also full of stories of successful partnerships. In the Old Testament, we've got many. We've got Joshua and Caleb. We've got Esther and Mordecai. We've got friends, Jonathan and David, and that judge, Deborah, and the commander of the army, Barak. And then if we fast forward to the New Testament, we have got Mary and Joseph. And you might even say Pastor Hugh and Pastor Debbie. Some of you may say that. And the Bible is full of stories of people working in partnership with each other. We've got friendships. We've got working partnerships. We've got family relationships. And of course, marriages. And the partnership that we're going to look at today is the one of Priscilla and Aquila. And they are mentioned in that chapter in Romans, in that letter that was carried by Phoebe to the church in Rome. And they are mentioned in that long list of greetings. Remember last week, I showed you that long list of people that Paul greets in that letter. They are, in fact, a married couple, but today's message is about all kinds of partnerships. However, if you are in the house this morning and you are married, I'm sure you'll also get something for your marriage also. So we're going to look at their partnership. We're going to look at this dynamic duo of the New Testament of the early church. But before we look at them, what does the Bible say about partnership? Well, there's that very well-known passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says that two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls, and they have no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Amen. Solomon, in all his wisdom, suggests that a good partnership can accomplish more than what one individual can. That the sum will be greater than the parts. The more can be achieved when we work together in harmony and in unity. We are stronger together. We are able to comfort one another. We are able to help one another through difficult times. We're able to offer comfort to one another. And I want to pick out just 4 points from that short passage in Ecclesiastes that reinforces this relationship of being working in partnership with each other. Number one, productivity. They have a good reward for their labor, it says, when they work together. Help in need. When one falls down, you can help pick that one up. And if you're the one that has fallen, the next time you might be the one that's picking the one up because we work together in this way. Comfort in life. It says that we will keep each other warm. And it also talks about safety and security. In my old life, I worked for the UK Border Agency and I worked for the UK BA for over 10 years. And I was never on my own. I never, ever worked in isolation. I always had a corroborating officer with me at all times. And that's because there's security and there's safety in working together. On Thursday night and Friday morning at Woman to Woman, if you were here, ladies, you will have heard me teach on the fact that partnership, that working together creates safety. Because when we get isolated, then we're open to the attacks of the enemy. Two are better than one. There's that interesting line there in verse 12 where it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You might think that sounds odd. She's probably forgot how to count because she's talking about partnership. And now she's talking about a threefold cord. But I'm sure you know and is commonly understood that third cord is God. It's the Holy Trinity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When God is intertwined with our relationships, they are not easily broken. Now, we quite often hear this quoted at weddings and in relation to marriage. And the couple that we are about to look at today were, in actual fact, married. However, you can invite God into any relationship, into all your relationships. Inviting God into that relationship is what's going to make way for a stronger, healthier relationship. Make him the three-cord strand. The Bible also says that God blesses unity. I love this. The psalmist writes, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. That's in the Message translation. There is blessing in togetherness. So let's return to chapter 16 of Romans if you have your Bibles with you. Last week we discovered that in verses 1 and 2 that Phoebe, sent by Paul, was a sister, she was a servant, and she was a saint. And she was given this important task by Paul to deliver the epistle to Rome. We also established last week there was a lot of people there in Rome that Paul sends his greetings to. He greets fondly in that letter, and there are quite a few. We're not going to get through them all. But today we're going to look at this couple. So look at our text for today. It's in verse 4 and 5. Paul writes this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. May God bless the reading. So we're going to look a wee bit closer into this couple today, and we're going to keep in mind the importance of loving one another and living together as the body of believers, as the family of God, because that's what this mini-series is about. And we have also said many times now that a growing church has growing needs, and this was the early church. But fast forward to today, we too are a growing church. We're growing every week, and we have growing needs also, and we need each and every one of you. In order to meet those needs then and today, God is calling godly, ordained, anointed men and women to serve and to serve in partnership with one another, to assist in those growing needs, to love one another and to build one another up in the faith. And as we saw last week, as Phoebe did, and today God is calling us too to serve wholeheartedly. And we see it in this relationship between this couple, Priscilla and Aquila. So unlike some of the other people in Rome, Paul's obviously met them before because he refers to them as co-workers. He also says that this couple have saved his life at some point. So we're going to get to that in a moment. Well, unlike Phoebe, who's only mentioned in those two verses, Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned several times in the New Testament. Janet's going to put up a list of scriptures for you now. They're mentioned roughly about six times in the New Testament. So there's your homework if you so choose to take up the challenge. If you want to read all about Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible, you can take a photograph of that, or you can perhaps read it later on in your own time. So how did Priscilla and Aquila meet the Apostle Paul? Well, if we look at one of those texts, let's take Acts 18. We read of when they met, when this trio got together. And it reads this. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and he worked with them. So what do we learn from this text about Paul and his meeting with Priscilla and Aquila? Well, last week we heard that Paul was in Corinth when he wrote the letter to the church in Rome. We also find out that Priscilla and Aquila have also been in Greece at some point. Now, the passage there tells us that they've come from Rome. So before they were in Corinth, they were in Rome. And when Phoebe delivers the letter, they're back in Rome. Are we all with it? Yeah, we all know where we're going in the geography. Good. It took me a while to sort that one out in my head. Now, the passage tells us that they're from Rome. So what else does the passage tell us? It tells us that Aquila is a Jewish convert. it also tells us that they've had to leave Rome because of Emperor Claudius. He was outraged by the riots that had broken out, fights in the street. And this was because people were turning to Christianity. Jews were converting to Christianity. Gentiles were turning to Jesus, and riots were breaking out. So he expelled many. So Priscilla and Aquila went to Greece because they were, in actual fact, refugees. And there are many people in our world, in particular in our country and in our church right now, that are seeking that same refuge. And we spoke very much last week about the importance of welcome. So they first meet Paul because they've got a shared interest. Paul and this couple are tent makers, and Paul came to work alongside them. So it was while they were all working together that they got to know each other. And not only that, but the Bible tells us and commentaries suggest that Paul may have stayed with them for around 18 months. So they were there because of Claudius. But I believe what was meant for their harm, God was turning around for good. I believe God was working on their behalf. I do not believe that it was an accident that God was bringing these people together. Now, I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to ponder how they were all feeling when they met each other, because this really stood out to me. Well, we've discussed that Priscilla and Aquila are refugees, so let's just think for a moment what it feels like to be a refugee. How might a refugee feel? Afraid, concerned about their future, disappointed, despondent. Now, what's interesting and what stood out to me is that even though Paul wasn't a refugee, I think Paul was feeling the exact same way. Even though he wasn't going through the same circumstances as Priscilla and Aquila, I think Paul was feeling a bit downcast. You see, it says after this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. So you need to find out what happened in Athens. After this, after what? See, we need to lean in a little bit deeper sometimes with the Bible. Sometimes we can read it too quickly. After this, after what? Well, we find out. Paul went to Athens. And if you know the story of Paul, you will know that it was when he was in Athens preaching that the gospel message didn't go down too well. It didn't go as well as it had done in other places. You see, the Athenians worshipped many, many different gods. The Bible says that Paul was distressed by this. In your own time, you might want to read Acts 17, and there's that moment where Paul is looking at all these statues of a variety of different idols. And then he comes to one, the unknown God. What's he experiencing in that moment? His heart is broken. And even after all the philosophers debating and mocking and arguing with Paul, he just wanted them to know the one true God. So he was distressed. So he left Athens feeling a bit dejected, but he's now in Corinth. And it is when he's in Corinth, he just so happens to meet Priscilla and Aquila, and they're feeling much the same. Church, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in serendipitous moments. I believe in the mighty hand of God. Don't you just love it when God brings that special someone into your life at that particular moment when you just so needed that encouragement? I'm sure you have your own stories that text message comes in just at that very moment from a friend, or maybe not even a friend, just someone, an acquaintance at church, a word of encouragement or inspiration, that God has placed them there in your life for that moment of encouragement. I don't believe that these three people met by accident. I believe it was the divine hand of God in the midst of their trial. In their brokenheartedness, there was a glimmer of hope as God brought together this trio to work in partnership. They were not just brought together to build tents. They were brought together to build the kingdom of God. That's what they were doing. So what did they do exactly? Well, if we read further down in Acts 18, it tells us, it says that Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and he sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. So this is what it means when he greets them as co-workers in Romans 16. It's not just because they were making tents together. They were partnering with each other in sharing the gospel message. And this helped one another. It increased their faith. It fanned into flames their passion once again. So God certainly did bring about good after a difficult situation. We also read at some point that they've risked their life for Paul. And we don't know when. We know that a riot broke out when they were all in Ephesus. Was that when they helped him? We don't know. But what we do know is that Paul is incredibly grateful to this couple. And it's easy to see why he loved this dynamic duo. I think they're pretty special also. So we know that they're married and they're always listed together in Scripture. They're never apart. It's always Priscilla and Aquila, and I love that. Another thing that's interesting is that Priscilla's name, the female, the wife, she's quite often mentioned first. And that's quite strange for the times in which they were living in. Scholars have suggested that it was because that she may have held a higher social status than Aquila. Others have suggested that it's because she was the more prominent teacher of the gospel message. And again, that totally rejects the claims that Paul was not favourable towards women leaders. For we see here, once again, one of his closest companions, a woman, a leader in the church, like Phoebe from last week. So they worked closely in partnership together. They were a married couple. They served the church. They were into tent making. They went on missions. They were evangelists. They were church planters. And they were teachers. You could say the same of them as we spoke of last week of Phoebe. They were brothers and sisters. They were servants. And they were saints. What they also were was successful as a couple together. And so too can we be if we work together. This is the power of we and not I. More can be accomplished together. I talked last week at length about working together as a church family. And as I've said already at the beginning, there is a lot that we can learn as married couples from Priscilla and Aquila. Solomon is right. Two are better than one. He also, remember, warns against those that would seek to cause division in amongst those precious relationships. The couple worked together for the good of serving others, just as Phoebe did. Spurgeon said this about them. Two loving hearts pulled together, they accomplish wonders. Isn't that lovely? What else do we know about them? Well, it tells us in Scripture that they held church within their home. Remember, this was the early church. This is how they would do church. They would all squeeze into someone's living room. And we don't have to do that today because we have this lovely church building to meet in. However, are we opening up our hearts? Are we opening up our hearts to God's people? Are we making space? Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 3 in the Passion says this: no matter what, make room in your heart to love every believer and show hospitality to strangers. For they may be angels from God showing up as your guests. Identify with those who are in prison as though you were there suffering with them and those who are mistreated, as if you could feel their pain. Challenging. Let's be a church that makes room in our hearts for others. One final point I want to look at today in the life of this couple, and that was their desire to share the gospel truth. It was while they were serving God in Ephesus that they encountered another partner in the faith, this time a man named Apollos. So Acts chapter 18 tells us about Apollos in verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker, who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and they explained the way of God even more accurately. Praise God for that. So it seems like Apollos, like many of the day, was a missionary called by God alone. What I mean by that is there's no indication that he was sent out by any particular church congregation or apostle. It wasn't like Phoebe who'd been sent out by Paul. At some point, he's encountered Jesus, praise the Lord, and he simply came to Ephesus. He received Jesus, and then he acted upon it. And this should fill you with encouragement today. Raise your hand if you're in the house today and you are praying for the salvation of a loved one, a friend or a family member or somebody at your work. We can get a bit weary sometimes, can't we? Raise your hands if you've been praying for that person for more than 2 years. Raise your hands if you've been praying for that person for more than 5 years. 10 years. 15 years. It's like an auction. They might want to ask me to do the Christmas show. Okay. Here's the thing. I pray for unsaved loved ones too. And I wonder if your prayers are much like mine. Lord God, would you let them hear what I've got to say? Would you allow me an opportunity to speak the gospel message to them? And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's harder to witness to your own family because they don't really want to listen to you. So you pray another prayer, don't you? You say, Lord, would you bring into their life a Christian friend? Would you bring someone into their work tomorrow, a new member of staff, and they just so happen to be a Christian? Or Lord, would you let them sit on the train or on the bus next to someone who is spirit-filled? Because if they're not going to listen to me, then maybe they'll listen to them. Raise your hands if you pray those prayers like me. Yeah. This should encourage you. God shows up himself still today. He's shown up in this man's life. So yes, keep praying those prayers. Keep praying that the Holy Spirit will open your loved one's heart and will allow you an opportunity to speak truth and love and grace and deposit into your heart. Yes, keep praying that he'll bring a Christian across their path. But be encouraged that he can just show up. He can just show up in the middle of the night. He can just deposit his love into their heart and their dreams. And give them visions. Pray that that loved one will have that Damascus Road moment. Because God still shows up today in this way. So don't give up. Keep praying. Press in. So Apollos has encountered the Lord. However, the passage tells us that he knew only of John's baptism. Apollos knew of the work of John the Baptist. It is likely that he preached that the Messiah had come and that Jesus is the way to salvation. However, he had little knowledge of the full person of Jesus. He hadn't encountered Jesus himself. But what he did know about Jesus, he taught passionately. And I think that Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard Apollos speaking, would have been very, very impressed by this man. However, they had the desire that many of us do as teachers to impart that knowledge of truth. So it says there that they took him aside and they explained the way of God more accurately. Praise the Lord for this. They did something very, very valuable for the kingdom of God. They helped someone who already had a passion for Jesus to understand God more clearly. This is a beautiful gift to have, to be able to bring the Word of God to life so that others understand the Word of God more accurately. They took him away privately to discuss the missing pieces of the jigsaw. They didn't judge him for his lack of knowledge or his immaturity. They didn't gossip about him. They didn't criticize him for what he didn't know. They spoke to him in brotherly and in sisterly love. And it's important. It's so important that we do the same, that we come alongside those who are younger in the faith, those baby Christians, alongside those who are younger in age, our young people, our Mossy crew today. Yes, there are times where we need to speak a word of advice and of wisdom. Of course there are. It's important that we do that. However, let's do it with grace and let's do it with love. We are not here to judge or to criticize. We are not here to condemn, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and it is the Holy Spirit that will convict within the church family, not us, not us. Priscilla and Aquila were encouragers. They were good, good teachers. They helped Apollos to see the truth in love. They had a conversation with him privately. And that conversation only made this young man even more passionate and even more fervent for the Lord. That's what we should keep in mind when we're working, ministering, serving alongside those who are younger in the faith. Do we leave them feeling more passionate about Christ? And God forbid that we should put them off. This is something that I continually ask myself when I'm working with new Christians. When I'm working with a Mossy crew, young adults, have I encouraged them in their walk with Christ? Do they want to come back next week? Do they want to serve? Are they eager to walk on the path of righteousness? Can we help them? Can we encourage them along the way? And can I ask you as a church congregation, as I asked you and asked you to pray for the pastors and the elders and their families, but can I also ask you to pray for our young people? That you pray for our kids' connection. That you pray for our Mossy crew and our young adults. Let's pray that they're here in church, loving and serving Jesus. And let's do all that we can to encourage them to do that. So what can we learn from this couple? Well, Paul greeted them several times in his letter. He spoke kindly to them. He spoke lovingly to them. Like Phoebe, they were a brother and a sister in the church. They were servants and they were saints. They served God in serving others. They were co-workers with Paul in spreading the gospel truth. They were hospitable, as many of you are. They made room in their homes and they also made room in their hearts. They were teachers of the truth, and they did it with love and they did it with respect, as the Apostle Peter encourages us to do so. Priscilla and Aquila were not only a great Christian partnership, but they were also a husband and wife team. And the three-chord strand in their relationship was the Holy Trinity. They were a team and they knew that they were stronger together. That's why they're always listed together. So I'm coming to an end now. Gabriella and the praise band can come back now. And I shall close in the same way as I did last week, looking at Jesus. What did Jesus think about partnership? Well, as we heard last week, he sent the disciples out in twos. He believed in the power of we and not I. He did not send the disciples out alone, but together. And we do not serve in isolation. Your gifts are not for yourself. They're for the edification of others. As a church, we are stronger together. As a growing church, we have growing needs and we need you. We need you to partner with us. And if you're here today and you feel alone. You feel lonely. Can I encourage you today that God is with you, that Jesus loves you, and he promises that he will never leave you and that he will never abandon you. What he also promises to do is to set the lonely in families. Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. Church, yes, we are a church, but we're first and we're foremost a family. So let's make every effort to live as a family and to serve one another. Would you pray with me now? Father, we bow before your throne of grace. We thank you that we are here because of Jesus. Because Jesus, you bled and you died for us. We thank you that the moment we first believed that you filled our hearts. We thank you that you brought us back to a family, that we are co-heirs with Christ. But thank you, Lord, that we do not do life alone in isolation, that you've brought us into a family, the family of God. Help us, Lord God, to love your bride and to serve her and to love each other passionately. Help us as the church to be the church, not just be here on a Sunday, but wherever we are, that we would be the church, Lord God. Help us, like Phoebe, like Priscilla and Aquila, like Apollos and Paul and the many others that have gone before us, to see your kingdom come here. And may each and every one of us play the part, and may we make sure that no one gets left behind. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us in this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was listening